Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want to invite you this morning to go to John 17. And I want to talk to you about having a better life through knowing God. Over the years, I've really enjoyed teaching on this. I've taught a lot along these lines, and the scripture I'm going to preach on or start with this morning, taught out of it. And I really enjoy this because it really meant a lot to me and still is meaning a lot to me when I understood this about knowing God. Now, John said this in John 17:3. He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And of course, we've taught about this and over the years and taught about, you know, eternal life and taught about knowing God and about the Greek word zoe, which is the word used for the life of God and what it means. And the Bible says here that knowing God is eternal life. Now, I want to talk to you just for a moment about that because, as you know, I know some of this is stuff that you've heard before, but we need to hear it again. But you know, life eternal. When we think about, you know, come to Jesus, you know, and you'll have eternal life, and we think about that, and we think about, all right, I'm going to live forever. But the truth is everybody's going to live forever. It just depends on where you're going to live at forever, right? Now, you know, my understanding, just, you know, understand the Bible, studying the Bible, is that a spirit, like you and I are spirit, soul, and body. God is a spirit. Amen, the Bible says. Angels are spirits. God created us spirits, but he gave us a soul. He gave us a physical body to live with on this earth. It's your earth suit. You have to have it. If you lose your suit, you leave the earth. Amen. Nobody hangs around once they're suit dies, they move on. My understanding is a spirit cannot die, cannot cease. Once a spirit exists, it's there, and it's going to live forever. And your spirit's going to live forever. People that aren't saved, their spirit's going to live forever, one place or the other. And so it's eternal life. You know, thank God we're going to live forever. If we know the Lord, we're going to live forever with the Lord. Amen. I was just thinking about this morning. I was thinking about, you know, I heard a commercial. I've told you this before. I think it's funny. I don't know if it's on the radio any longer. I used to listen to the radio some when I'd go for runs and stuff. And I'd have talk radio on and listen to different people. But they would, you know, I'd have commercials, you know. And one commercial starts out like, "Do you have any relatives that are getting older?" I thought, that's about the stupidest question I ever heard because they all are. There's only one alternative to that. How many know that? Every one of them that's alive is getting older, you know. And I was thinking about this morning, but you know, we're all getting older. I'm getting older and all that and things like that. But you know what? That could be a depressing thing if you don't know the Lord. Come on now. When you know the Lord, we think about, I'm going to miss, if I would leave here, I would miss my house. I'd miss my dog, my goldfish. I'd miss all kinds of things. Let me just tell you something. You and I have no idea what God has in store for us. We're not going to miss a living thing on this earth. I'm promising you that. Amen. And don't think that, you know, that we're all going to sit around here on this earth and mourn for days for you either. You know, like they did in the Old Testament, they would have, like, Joseph's funeral was 40 days. Joseph in the Bible. They would hire professional mourners to come and mourn at your funeral, you know. We don't do that. Once we get you in the ground, we go eat chicken. Hey, this is true, right? It's like, hey, they're gone, let's go eat. Now, I realize sometimes it gets a little deeper than that. We do miss you. But the thing of it is, you're not going to miss a thing. But eternal life is far deeper than just, we're going to live forever. We're all going to live forever. One place or the other, you're either going to live in heaven or you're going to be hell. You make that decision while you're on the earth. You don't make it afterwards. You make it now. You see, you got authority to make that now because you got an earth suit on. Amen. You got your body on. But once that's gone, then once your decision making is over, you're going one place to the other. See, and so but eternal life in the Bible, when you study it out, it's not just the born again experience. Though that's the beginning. That's just the starting place. Yeah. When you come to Christ, you do get eternal life. Right. But you got to learn that you were given a quality of life. Yeah. Right? You weren't just given a length of life. You were given a quality of life. And W. Vine defines it this way. I love this definition. It's life like God has it. Life in the absolute sense. That which the Father has in Himself, which He gave the Son to have in Himself, which the Son gave to us to have in ourself, when we get born again. Now, I know that's true because I'm still discovering this. I'm still working on this, but I know that when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, something changed. Yeah. I didn't stay the same.
Amen.
Right.
That's
right.
Everything was new, man. My old life was gone. The drugs were gone. All that was gone. And it wasn't like, you know, I had to give it up for Jesus. I got something better.
Yeah. Right.
Something far better. I never forget. I've told you this story, but it is a true story. One time on a service, and I'd just been saved just a short time, just a few weeks. I'd just been saved. And we're having church. And power of God came in. You know, I got saved in a church that believed in God's power. Power of God came in, and things began to happen in that service. And you could sense God's presence. You could sense His power. And it was affecting people. People were doing different things. And it hit me. And I'm just a babe in Christ. You know what I'm saying? I don't know much about all this. But all of a sudden, I feel like I'm about to fall out of we had pews. I'm about to fall. I'm sitting on the edge of the pew. I'm about to fall out of that into the floor. I'm serious. Now, you know, I'm not making this up. I'm just a babe in Christ. And I'm just about to fall out. And I said something to the Lord. I said something like, I can't take much more of this. And it wasn't a bad thing. But it's just like, I didn't want to embarrass myself and fall out on the floor.
Right.
And I wish I'd just left it alone, honestly. And the Lord spoke to me. Now, listen, I'm talking about, I'm just a babe in the Lord. I've not been saved enough to have charismatic hallucinations. For some of you understand that. It just, the Lord spoke to me. I said, Lord, you have to turn this down. And the Lord said to me, He said, have you ever been this high before? Because he's talking what I knew I'd know. I knew about high. I knew about doing drugs and getting high. He said, you ever been this high before? I said, no, I haven't. He said, I'm the most high. You have to understand, this time, I didn't even know that was a phrase in the Bible. But it's in Genesis where He calls Him the most high God. Man, that's better high than I got off any LSD. I can tell you that right now. And you know what? I wasn't messed up afterwards. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, what am I saying that you know, if you come to Christ, that He's going to get you high every service? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's a dimension of life that's called eternal life, and it's a quality of life. Amen. And knowing God is eternal life. So the more you know Him, the more you get to walk in that, the more you'll walk in that kind of quality of life. This is what explains to me why some Christians, they come, they get saved, they're going to heaven, but they don't ever get any further. Because they just, they received it, but they're not walking in it. See, it's theirs. They're going to heaven. Thank God for that. But as we learn, as we get to know God, as we get to know the Lord, more of that starts operating in our life and starts affecting every area of our life. Right? It started where I started with, when I got saved, I thank God I was saved. Man, I mean, thank God I'm born again. You know what I mean? I mean, hey, being born again, being saved, missing hell and going to heaven, that's wonderful. But you know what? That's not just the total goal that God has for you. If it was, you'd go to heaven after you got saved. He wants us to walk in this and live in this life. And what does the Bible say? And be a witness. Right? Not just with your mouth, but with your lifestyle. You got to open your mouth and sow seed. People got to hear the gospel. But they got to see something too. They got to see some people with some victory in their life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I began to change. Things began to change. As the more I got to know God, the more I thought, man, I didn't realize that was part of redemption, part of our salvation. And, you know, just began to walk in that. And I'm still growing. How about, I guess I will be till Jesus comes. I'm still working and growing. Amen. You think, you know, someone said one time, he was a sinner, well, haven't you studied enough by now? Something to that effect. I mean, I'm not done learning about the Lord. Amen. And Jesus said to know him is eternal life. This is eternal life. This is it. Amen. What does that mean? Well, it means that when we give our lives to Christ, we get saved. We have eternal life. We're going to heaven. But you don't stop there. And it'll start changing everything about your life as you, the more you know God, the more you know his word, the more it'll begin to change things for you. It'll change the way you think about things, right? It'll renew your mind. It'll change. Listen, I've seen marriages transformed. I've seen families transformed. I've seen sick people transformed. I've seen people that were messed up in their minds transformed because this eternal life began to work inside of them. Amen. And it's a powerful thing. Now, some people are satisfied with just getting saved, getting their sins forgiven, and going to heaven. They're satisfied with that. But I'll tell you what, I want everything God has.
Amen.
I'm not just satisfied that I'm going to heaven. I want to live in some victory right now.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. And that eternal life will go to, the more you learn, I'll just say this to you, the more you learn about God, the more you act like him. And the more you act like him, you get his results.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. See, I've been at this for over 40 some years, and the Lord's still working on me to be more kind, to be more gentle, to be nicer, to be more loving. I know I'm a lovable little fuzzball right now. I don't know what God's got in mind, but evidently he still thinks there's areas that need some improvement. So, you know, here's what I've learned, and I learned this about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit isn't just to bless others. It'll also bless you. It'll enhance your life. Amen. When you get to the place where, like the Bible said in Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they that love your law and nothing will offend them. When you get to the place, stuff doesn't offend you. Now, I got saved, but you know what? I still had a trigger. Now, not really, you know, not so much towards people that were close to me and all that, but, you know, some stranger could trigger me. We could have an issue. It was like one time years ago, and Phyllis was just being honest. She was just being honest. One time years ago, a minister that we knew of, I didn't know him personally, but I knew of him, was in a prayer line, and he was praying for people in his church, and he got to this one guy, and the guy punched him in the face. You remember that? It was Billy Joe. I won't say his name, last name. That's a good Southern name, Billy Joe. Not Joel, Joe. And and someone punched him, and Phyllis said, if that had been you, you'd have punched him back. I said, yes, I would have, but thank God I have grown. Praise the Lord. It had been ugly seeing pastor punches guy in prayer line. But how many know we grow, right? That eternal life goes to work in us. The more we know the Lord, the more we act like the Lord. And when I got saved, it changed a lot of things immediately. But there were still things that God was working on, and he's still working on things. Paul said, he told one church, he said, I'm convinced that God, he'll complete that which he started in you. We haven't finished yet, have we? So this eternal life, it's not just living forever. It's a quality of life God wants to have. The peace, the joy, amen. The blessing that he has for us. It's all there But Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you may know him. Amen. Yeah. And Jesus Christ to whom he has sent. Yeah. How many think this is a good thing? Yeah. Listen to me. David had grown old, King David. You know, he didn't live a long time. You know, he lived a rough life. And he only made it 70 years. That's all King David lived. You know, he wanted to build the tabernacle. And God said, no, you've been a bloody man. Let your son build this. He lived a rough life. I think God knew he wasn't going to live long enough to do it anyway. He lived a hard life. He did live a hard life. But he was a man after God's heart. God even told him, he said, you're going to be ruler over my people in the millennial. Hallelujah. You're going to be their king. So, amen. Yeah. All the kings after that, they were supposed to pattern their life after David. You'll see in the Old Testament, the kings that followed him, they would say, did not walk in the ways of his father David. Did walk in the ways of his father David. Because David walked in God's ways. But, you know, David, I don't even know why I was talking about David now. But David, he lived that hard life. Why was I talking about David? Anybody know? Where was I going? All right, praise the Lord. It's one of them mornings this morning. Praise the Lord. You're going to have to use your faith if you're going to get anything. I brought David up for a reason. I'll think of it later on. But David, you know, he had a heart for God. He had a heart for God. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. Oh, I know what I was going to go to. David was getting older and he was getting ready to die. And he was turning over the kingdom to his son Solomon, the kingdom of Israel. He's going to be king. Solomon's going to be king. And the thing, you know, David, how many know, when you've lived through that many years, he'd been 40 years as king, you've learned a lot in the natural, haven't you? You've learned a lot of things that you could share in the natural. But when David got ready to go, one of the things he said to Solomon is, he said, Solomon, here's my advice to you. Know the God of your fathers. Because you could maybe know some things in the natural, but if you don't know the God of your fathers, you're doomed for failure. And you may not know some things you should know, but if you know the God of your fathers, how many know he can teach you everything you need to know? He just needs a willing heart. Amen? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's not talking about head knowledge. When the Bible talks about knowing God, it's not talking about, let's say it this way. It's a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. You ever read in the Old Testament, it said Adam knew his wife Eve, the Bible used that, they knew. I mean, that's an intimate thing. That's not just head knowledge. You may say, well, I know Miss Phyllis. Yeah, you know her, but you don't know her like I know her. Yeah. I can go to restaurants and order for her. Because I know, you know, I know what she wants. Amen. Now, you can see, I will know whether you know her or not by the way you talk. And I know whether people know God by the way they talk. And they don't really know the Lord, not. Amen. But I know, because if you tell me, you know, I went out with Miss Phyllis, we had lunch, and she ordered, you know, a 20-ounce T-bone, I've got you pegged already. You weren't with this Phyllis. She's not a big red meat eater. I make up for it. Oh, you mean you eat animals? Yeah. If they stand still long enough. I've kind of grew up with the philosophy, I didn't have parents, I don't know if I want it. So, no, I'm not one of those people. Sorry. You're not a vegan? No. I throw rocks at vegans. I'm teasing. You can be whatever you want to be. How many know that? Whatever works for you. How many know that God deals with people differently? You know, I've heard a guy say one time, God told him never drink coffee again. Well, he's never told me that, so yeah. Dunkin's still open. Yeah. Amen. Yep. Amen. Amen. Now, if he did, how many know everybody's body's different, right? Right. You know, one guy's, well, I'll never touch butter again. It's all right. I'll take yours. I get a baked potato just so I have something to put my butter on. Right. And I like the real thing, too, the real butter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Come on. Amen.
Is it butter or is it chiffon? It's chiffon. I want butter. That's too old of a commercial for some of y'all. All right. But how many understand God speaks to people differently? Of course he does and all that. We understand that. But look, we are destroyed because we don't have this intimacy. I was talking about, see, I know her better than you know her. Because I've lived with her for about 40 years, going on 40 years. So we literally, she knows me. You say, well, I know Pastor. Well, yeah, you know me, but not like she knows me. Yeah. Right? See, the more time you spend with God, the more you know him, the more you'll act like him, right? So you could come and you could get saved and you'd be going to heaven and you're going to heaven, all right, but you're not enjoying the kind of life that God has for you. He's got a higher quality of life than probably what all of us are living right now. You know what I'm saying? There's just more there and we need to learn that. Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about. I don't think we'll get done today. We may take it up again. I think I'm preaching Wednesday night. We may take it up again Wednesday night and talk some more about it. But I want you to go. We're in John chapter 17. Go to John 15. Real close there. John 15. So one place in Isaiah, the Bible says, my people go into captivity because they don't have any knowledge. Go into captivity because they don't have any knowledge. But here in John 15... Verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father, the King James says, is the husbandman, or he's the vine dresser, the one that takes care of the vine. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. Every branch that bears fruit, the King James says, he purges it, or we could say he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, or you're purged. How many know you're purged or you're pruned through the word which I've spoken unto you? How many know the word will prune you sometimes?
Right.
Amen. Amen. You know, you find you know. See, we have such a society in the church today; it only wants to hear feel good messages, right? Tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me how good I am. Well, all that's part of the word. God has made you to be something special. God has given us things, you know, he's blessed us. All that's part of the word. But how many know there's another part of the word that also corrects us?
Right.
It also rebukes us.
Right. Right.
Amen. Yeah. See, the word of God should produce blessing, joy, peace, but it'll also correct you.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, how does God do that? Well, many times he does it while your pastor's preaching to you.
That's right. Amen.
I've gotten people get mad at me, and I wouldn't even know they were doing it if they hadn't gotten mad. They told off on themselves. If you just keep quiet. Because people sometimes think, well, pastor, somebody told pastor. I will never forget. I've told you a story, but it is true. It's a true story. I was preaching one Sunday morning, just minding my own business, and I was talking about, you know what, we could have a special meeting planned for 6 months. Everybody's known about it for 6 months. It's in the bulletin that nobody reads. And, you know, we've talked about it for 6 months. And then the night we have the special meetings, all of a sudden you have to stay home and clean your garage out. That's been dirty for 10 years. Is this reality? I was preaching that one Sunday morning. I just made the comment. I have no idea anything's going on. I'm glad it's that way because sometimes you wouldn't have the guts to say it if you knew it. So you just say it. After the service, this lady comes up to me. Her sister goes to our church too and her husband. So this lady comes up to me. She's got a sister and a brother-in-law that go to our church. They're sitting out there during the service, Pastor Chuck. She says, you're not going to believe this. My sister and my brother-in-law stayed home last Sunday morning to clean their garage out. Now, how many believe that's A, the devil, B, me, or C, the Holy Ghost? Well, A, the devil's not going to tell you anything that will help you. B, I didn't know. So C, it must have been the Spirit of God. That was correction from the Bible. See, that's correction from the word, see.
Amen.
Why are y'all looking at that? Did they all stay home and clean your garage out Wednesday night or something? Y'all looking like, man.
Why would God say that? Because they had their priorities messed up. And I see this happen. It's the word correcting you. How many know that? Amen. And I've actually had people get up and walk out, you know. And I learned from Jesus. You don't go, oh, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Sorry. Miss, wear your feelings on your sleeve. Come back here. No, Jesus looked at the rest of his disciples. Do you want to go too? And Peter must have been thinking about it. He said, oh, where will we go? Is there another full gospel church in town? No, he said, you have the words of eternal life. So how many know the word does all kinds of things for us? So Jesus said, my word will correct you. Now, that's not a bad thing. I mean, that's not a bad thing when the word corrects you because it's for your benefit. How many know, I've grown enough now that I understand correction is going to bless me. It's going to be for my benefit. I don't get offended about that any longer. It's like, see, anybody doesn't think they know correct, don't anybody doesn't think they need correction, then you're saying I'm never wrong. I mean, we're all wrong. Amen. And so, the word will do that to you, won't it? Amen. And then, you know, you can get corrected by reading the word. You can get corrected by coming to church and the pastor gets up and says something. He doesn't even know he's talking to you. I've had this happen hundreds and hundreds of times where people said, Pastor, that's exactly what I need. The Lord's just been talking to me about that. And then you get up and preach it. And, you know, maybe it's one of these side paths I take that I don't even know why I'm down this trail. But God knows why I'm down that trail. I don't need to know, but He does. He loves His children. Amen. Right? And you know, I'll pray, Father, you know them. You know who's going to be there. You know their heart. You know what they need. You know what you want to do in their life. Just speak. Amen. And so sometimes He will, and sometimes it's correction, and sometimes it's just good. It's not always correction. Sometimes it's good things we just need to hear. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. You know, when a branch gets cuts off the vine, how many know it's dead? Right. You know, it may look alive for a little bit, but it's on its way. You know, like you cut tree limbs off your tree, that, you know, they look good for a while, but eventually the leaves start wilting, withering away. That's what happens when we cut ourselves off from the vine, is we may look good for a while, but eventually we start to wither. Our lives start to wither. Things start to dry up. Because where did the joy of the Lord go? Well, you're withering. Amen. You need to connect back to the vine. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can't do a whole lot. You can do nothing. So how many know, you can't live a successful Christian life apart from being connected to the vine, which is Christ. What does that mean? That means I feed on Him. I feed on His Word. I live by His Word. Amen. Right. I do His Word. Amen. Right? If a man, notice this, if a man abide not in me, verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask whatever you want, it'll be done unto you. How many is going to affect your prayer life? How you live, right? Oh, yeah. Right? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. God wants us to bear a lot of fruit, people. Yeah. I said, He wants us to bear a lot of fruit. Amen. Yeah. A lot of fruit in our life. Amen. Yeah. So it isn't just a matter of you know, us getting saved. It's a matter of us abiding in the vine. Amen. Abiding in the vine. Now, and I know if you're a young believer, you may say, well, what is abiding in the vine? Well, it's staying hooked up to the things of God. See, don't fall into the trap that you're only spiritual on Sunday morning. This is my time for God, right? I give Him, our church, you know, we're an hour and a half, 2 hours service. Some other church may be an hour service, you know. Some maybe 20 minutes, and that's probably too long for some of them. You know what I'm saying? So, and people categorize their life. All right, this is my spiritual part. Come on. I used to have friends, but I'm telling you, when I was doing drugs, I had one particular friend that he went to a certain church, you know, and they had service. Sunday morning. And now he lived just like I lived. And we partied on Friday nights, and we partied on Saturday nights, and we partied on Sundays. But every Saturday night, Brother Mark, he would make us either take him home or let him out at his vehicle so he could, at 12 o'clock midnight, so he could go home and be in church in the morning. Isn't that something? Now to him, I'm not judging, I'm just telling you this is the way he lived. To him, his life was categorized. I have this set time, I go into the house of God, and I'm spiritual. But the rest of the time, I live like everybody else. I mean, that's being disconnected from the vine. I mean, if you're a part, how many know the, you can't, the a limb on a tree can't just say, you know, I'll be back later. I'm going out in the woods today. I want a fellowship with some other trees. I mean, if that happens, that vine is in, that branch is in trouble, right? It has to stay connected. Now, this man, and I'm not his judge, but this man probably thought that all of us, all of his friends, were heathens going to hell. But he knew God. Are you with me? But if he knew God, I sure couldn't tell it. Hey, now, if you get this thing called eternal life, it's probably going to change you. Now, I'm not his judge, but I sincerely doubt that he'd ever been born again. Because here's why I sincerely know that. Because I lived just like him. I lived for the devil. He and I did drugs together. We drank together. We partied together. We lived just the same lifestyle. But I went to church one night and knelt at an altar and gave my life to Jesus, and I never went back to doing that same stuff. Everything changed for me. I didn't just add God. He became my life. I didn't just say, well, now I'll go to church. Now I'll party with you guys now, but I got to be in church on Sunday morning. No, my whole life changed. Amen. I can give you the exact date. Now, I'm not judging anybody, but I'm just telling you, I got something from God when I got saved. I got eternal life. And I began to let it work in my life. But I can tell you the exact date. If an officer pulls me over and says, have you been drinking? I can say, officer, I can give you the exact date I stopped. It was December 18th, 1981. Of course, no, I got born again on the 20th. I took my, who's preaching here anyway? You guys were thinking the date I got born again, right? No, see, I'm talking about the last drink I took. All right. I got born again on the 20th. But my last drink was on the 18th of December. It might have been into the 19th because we were in the morning hours by the time I got home. So the wee morning, I guess, of the 19th. Let's just be correct about this. Amen. It was a Saturday night. It was the third Saturday in December of 1981. 405 North College Street in the city. That's Brother Hagin. I mean, he'd tell you the whole thing. 405 North College Street in the city of McKinney, Texas. 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. And south bedroom. Yeah, he had it all. He remembered it all. He just remembered every detail. I remember the place I was at. I could take you there. That was the last place I ever had a drink of alcohol. It was the last place I ever smoked marijuana. It was the last place I ever, that I can go back to that exact day because on the 20th, I went to church and got eternal life. Amen. Eternal life. You know, Brother Hagin talks about it was a church he pastored, and there was this a young lady in there. She was in her teens, maybe 15 or 16, but she just wasn't mentally right, you know. And her name was Ollie. And he said, you know, during the service, she couldn't help it. She just wasn't right. She would just say, I got to go to the bathroom, right in the middle of service, you know. 16 years old, you know. And he said, you know, if she wanted to, she maybe be on the back pew and wanted to get up to the front where her mother was at. He said, sometimes he said, I've seen her crawl under the pews at 16 years old and to get up front. He said, I see her walk over the top of the pew, just jump over them. He said, but we had an evangelist in one night. He gave an altar call. Ollie answered it, got born again, and began to change. He said a few years later, she was running a business, a prosperous business. Why? Eternal life. See, she not only got born again, she started fellowshipping and getting to know God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Began walking in this eternal life, and it began to change her. Man, I know that's real. I know that. I've seen it happen. I've seen people, their lives were so messed up. And they came to Jesus Christ. And at first their lives were still messed up. But they kept coming to church. They kept reading their Bibles. They kept praying, worshiping God, listening to other people preach, you know, feeding on the Word of God. And their lives totally got changed. Hallelujah. I mean, some of the people that are in the ministry today, if you'd have known them before they've met Christ, you'd think, how in the world could they ever be there? I know we had a lady with her brother and her sister-in-law started coming to our meetings, and they tried to get her to come. She was a classmate of mine, went to school with me, and they were trying to get her to come. Hey, he's a preacher now. And she goes, I wouldn't believe a word he said. I knew him. Well, you know, she knew the old me, but now I got eternal life. Hallelujah. And it wasn't like I was a big liar or something. It's just that she knew how I lived, the lifestyle I lived. Amen. And she just thought, you know, can anything good come out of Pike County? Well, Pastor Chuck came out of there. Did you come out of there, Miss Joanne? Or were you? No, you were at Spencer County. That's even worse. But anyway, praise the Lord. That's a joke, Spencer County. That's a joke. You were from Spencer County. Perry County. Oh, that's even far worse. All right. We're just having some fun. We tease about Pike County, you know, because Pastor Chuck, he lived in Stendell. They didn't even have a stoplight. They didn't know if they have a stop sign. No need of one. I lived in Petersburg. And hey, we had at least two or three stoplights. Praise God. And a courthouse to boot. Praise the Lord. So I kind of felt uppity, like I was from a higher class than he was in Pike County. You know. But help me understand that when you get this eternal life, yes, you're going to heaven, absolutely. But there's a lot more that God has for you. That life will begin to work inside of you, begin to change you, praise God, and begin to make everything new. It'll heal your bodies. It'll heal your mind. It'll heal your family members, marriages, things. It'll do things as you just get to know the Lord. As you know the Lord, the more you know Him, the more you start acting like Him. Amen. The more you start operating like Him, and the more of His life begins to work inside of you. I got a lot more things to say, but I think we're done this morning. I hope you got something out of that. Praise the Lord. But we'll continue on. There's a whole lot more that I got to talk about. But you know, Daniel said this, and I love this, in Daniel 11:32. He's talking about in the end times. He says, those that know God in the end times will be strong and do great exploits. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll make you strong. Praise God. You know, when you first get saved, you're at the weakest, most vulnerable point in your Christian walk. But if you'll just keep coming, and you'll just keep growing, things will begin to change. And this is where I see people get discouraged. They've messed their life up for 30 years, and they want God to fix it. They want everything fixed overnight. It's like, I came to your church, Pastor. You prayed for me 3 times, and I'm still messed up. Well, it took a little time. I mean, you know, sometimes it takes a little time to undo some of that stuff. That's got to work in you. How many? You know, when you take medicine, or like, you know, I take these liquid minerals, or whatever they are. Vitamins, I think they are. They're liquid. Now, you know, the lady told me, she said, now you got to give it 90 days. Because I'm like a guy, and Phyllis knows this, I took it twice, and that's not changed. I'm not taking that.
But how many of that's called illegal drugs that do that to you? Come on, don't y'all act like you're all innocent and don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, come on, you know what I mean. You take it and 10 minutes later, it's like, whoa, that was potent stuff. Yeah, that's really, can you imagine how harmful that is for your body? But people still do it today. I'd like to think if I hadn't got saved, I'd got some sense somewhere along the line. But she said, you know, give these things 90 days. And I've tried stuff before, and Phyllis, she made fun of me, but I bought my vitamins at Costco. You know. And she's kind of like, you need some higher quality stuff than Costco. No offense against Costco. But I said, look, I bought this big container. It had 400 in there. Well, what'd you say?
I said, well, it was probably about 20 bucks.
I don't know if it's 20 bucks, but anyway. And they weren't Flintstone vitamins. But I took those things. And I said, I'm taking every one of those. I took every one of those. Not at once. Over the time, over 400 and some days, I took them till I cleaned them out. I think I might have threw the last 5 or 10 away, like I was done with it by then. But anyway, almost every one of them, I couldn't tell any difference. I felt no more energy. I didn't feel anything. And so I was like, I'm done with that. And so this lady talked me into trying these liquid vitamins. And I gave it 90 days, and I could tell a difference. Yeah. But it wasn't like an overnight thing. See, sometimes God's eternal life's that way. It may change things overnight sometimes, but sometimes you just got to let it work in you for a while. Sure. You just keep fellowshipping with Him, keep feeding on His Word, and listen to good preaching.
Yes.
I highly recommend that. Yes. Find some good faith people and listen to them. It's so easy to access now. Just all over the place. Do that, and you watch and see your life will begin to change. Things will begin to change. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.